The Sustainability Now Telesummit is honored to share audacious ideas and innovative solutions from more than 30 experts from around the globe. Learn how we can work together to shape a world that works. Here's your host, Mira Rubin.
Welcome back to the Sustainability Now Telesummit, Shaping a World That Works. I am delighted to introduce Kristen Camilla to you. Kristen is the Chief Science Officer for U.S. Stem Cell and a pioneer in regenerative medicine, creating breakthroughs using the body's genius, harnessing the body's genius through stem cells to heal degenerative conditions and all kinds of physiological ailments. So, Kristen, this is a dream to have you with us. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Really an honor to present to your audience and such a great topic, sustainability, and the idea that every single one of us can really tap into our resources inside our body to heal is going to change the way we address many medical conditions. So I've actually prepared a small slide set to share some of our research and data. So if it's okay with you, I'll pop into those slides.
I would love that. Thank you.
The concept is that regenerative medicine is something that's inside every single one of us. All of us have stem cells inside our body. And really what I would like to convey to the audience that the future of medicine is here now. We're doing many of these protocols right now. And I think a lot of patients don't realize that these protocols are available to them. And like any new technique in medicine, it takes some time before it catches on as self-evident, but we are rapidly moving towards that point. So before I jump into some of the slides, I have to remind that I am an officer of a publicly traded company called US Stem Cell, so I must show these SEC forward-looking statements. The idea is that we can replace or regenerate cells inside our body and tissues, and this is constantly going on inside our body. Every single tissue in our body is turning over. It's healing anytime you get an injury. So as an example, if you were to cut your arm, you would naturally have stem cells homing to that area to help repair that cut. All day long, stem cells are repairing the tissues inside your body. In fact, if you didn't have stem cells inside your body, you could only live for about an hour because the tissue inside your body would begin to degenerate and there would be nothing there to repair. So this is a very important mechanism that's going on constantly in your body. And the concept is that we can actually harness this healing potential, isolate stem cells that may be laying dormant or in storage, and locate them to areas inside your body where you may need some additional help. So the good news is that one of the most plentiful sources of stem cells inside your body is your fat tissue. So we tend to have excess amounts of fat tissue that we hold on to, and we can take a small sample of this fat tissue by doing what's referred to as a mini lipoaspirate procedure. What this means is that we make a small incision in the skin. It's about the size of my pinky nail, about 3 millimeters in size. It's so tiny that we don't even have to stitch it afterwards, and we apply some numbing solution just below the skin. During this entire procedure, you remain awake, so you don't have to undergo any general anesthesia. We numb the area below the skin, the subcutaneous fat, and then we isolate that small amount of fat tissue. Typically, the amount of fat tissue that we want to collect is about the size of a stick of butter, so it's not a large quantity. And then we can separate some very important cells from that fat tissue. The cells that are of interest are referred to as a stromal vascular fraction. Within the stromal vascular fraction, we have a variety of different types of cells, including something called mesenchymal stem cells, which are responsible for repairing tissue in your body and helping to form new tissue, as well as hematopoietic stem cells, progenitor and endothelial cells, and a variety of different growth factors, cytokines, and different proteins that can help to stimulate a cascade healing event. We then isolate those cells and we can apply them to different areas of concern inside the body. So the goal when utilizing these cells is twofold. First, to reduce inflammation bring down that inflammatory response, especially if you've got something chronic that is over-inflamed, you're stuck in a cycle of inflammation. And second, to help repair any damaged tissue. So when you look at issues inside the body, this can be applied to so many different indications, because oftentimes the source of pain or the source of a problem inside the body has to do with inflammation and has to do with damaged tissue. So these are the cells that are naturally repairing any sort of damage inside your body, and we can then apply those directly to where we need them. So we might place them directly into a joint, for example, your knee, or we might place them systemically to allow the cells to circulate, to go to areas that are more inflamed than other. And these cells will naturally home to those inflamed areas because the body automatically calls for the cells to come to the areas that are inflamed. We can also apply these to the brain or neurological conditions or damages in the spinal cord or other systemic things like autoimmune, lungs, heart, diabetes. So again, really anything that involves inflammation or damaged tissue, regenerative medicine and stem cell treatments may be beneficial. So we are one of the most published groups in the world with regards to using stem cells from fat tissue apply directly to the patient in a clinical setting. We've published studies on degenerative disc disease. We've published studies on critical limb ischemia, which is often something that accompanies patients who are diabetic. They get poor blood flow throughout their limbs, and as a result, they get non-healing ulcer wounds in their feet and legs. We've also published with regards to osteoarthritis in the knee, hips, and even other joints like shoulders. We've published for cardiomyopathy or heart disease. We have published in use of gland damage after having received radiation because of a throat cancer, damages in the glands, which are responsible for producing saliva, the ability to inject cells directly into these glands to help produce saliva again. We have published in COPD, which is lung disease, and oftentimes patients with COPD are placed on oxygen, and once you begin that oxygen treatment, it just leads to more and more oxygen, and there's really not much that can be done for patients with lung disease. So by applying the stem cells and allowing the cells to circulate through the lungs, we can reduce some of that inflammation and congestion that occurs in the lungs, allowing patients to reduce or sometimes even remove the need for oxygen. We've also published in different autoimmune diseases like psoriasis, as well as we've published the world's largest safety study demonstrating that these cells can be used safely bedside to the patient. This study was looking at 676 patients, which was the largest study to date, looking at the safety and the use of stem cells from fat. We've also published in meniscal injuries within the joint and non-healing ulcer wounds for patients who are typically wheelchair-bound and as a result start to develop these ulcers on the base of their tailbone. So the challenge is that many of our current medical procedures are really falling short for patients. Their medications may not be working for them, or surgeries are not necessarily getting patients where they want to be, in particular in orthopedics. So when looking at some of the largest studies with regards to traditional therapies in orthopedics, it demonstrated that cortisone is not necessarily producing end results that are ideal, meaning that cortisone sometimes is degenerative, and even if it may give a quick fix short term, the long-term effects are not great for patients, and it leads to worse osteoarthritis. Surgery is no better than sham surgery with regards to tears in tendons, et cetera, and or physical therapy. So this is a new method that can be applied to orthopedics in which we are starting to reverse the damage that is in the joint that may be even chronic and have gone on for decades. This would include patients with grade 3-4 osteoarthritis, meaning that they've got bone on bone, and you can see this in the top picture, some bone on bone, very decreased joint space, and after 12 months with injection of stem cells, the increased joint space. In the second picture, we can see a chondral defect and a loose flap right here. After injection of the cells, a nice smooth chondral layer, And then finally, in the third picture, a little bone lesion right here where the arrow is, and then 18 months after, a nice smooth chondral layer. This is one of the largest orthopedic studies published to date, where almost 1,300 patients were looked at, and 93% of these patients demonstrated positive improvements. So this is a very meaningful study showing that we can safely and effectively inject the stem cells into the joints of patients suffering from osteoarthritis. Just to give a few additional examples, this is a patient who suffered from vasculitis, which is an autoimmune disease in which the skin becomes very paper thin. So any little nick on the skin would lead to one of these terrible wounds that would be non-healing. And what we did for this patient was a combination of IV treatment of the stem cells, allowing the cells to circulate to begin to address the autoimmune components, as well as injections in and around this wound to heal it. So we were able to completely heal this wound, but more importantly, we were able to increase the strength of the patient's skin overall. And now this patient has not had any additional wounds since delivering those cells IV. So really kind of boosting the immune system and addressing the underlying disease. And that's what makes stem cells so unique. We're really getting to the root cause as opposed to masking the symptoms.
Kristen, for that patient, how long did that take to get the result that we saw?
Mm-hmm. So typically what we do for patients who suffer from autoimmune diseases is a multi-step treatment. So they will come in for first treatment where we will do an IV, and then we can follow up with repeat treatments in a more aggressive way. We would do it every 4 to 6 weeks. And if the patient is less severe, we might do every 3 months. So we kind of address this on a patient-by-patient situation. This patient was a more severe case, so we did a very aggressive approach for about 1 year, dosing every 4 to 6 weeks. And I would say it was around that 6 month mark that she really started to notice the difference in the strength of her skin and that she was no longer getting these lesions. Now, to heal this particular wound, this took about 3 to 4 weeks to get to the point where we started to see some of this new tissue formation, and this was probably about 2 months after the fact. But over time, we really started to see the strengthening. She's more now on a maintenance program where she will get a dose every 6 to 12 months, as opposed to that aggressive approach in the beginning. What's great about this is that the stem cells are from you. So we take a very unique and individualized approach. It's not one size fits all. It's your stem cells. We see how you respond to your stem cells, and in particular, in light of your current situation, whether it be a disease, injury, et cetera. But one of the things that we also work with our patients is really cleaning up the system on a whole. So we work to ensure that they are detoxifying, removing any toxins from their life, whether it be from diet, water, or also mental toxins. So remember that toxins can present to us in a lot of ways. Cortisol, our stress hormone, can be very toxic. So releasing and removing some of those environmental toxins as well as emotional toxins. This is an example of a patient with an autoimmune disease called psoriasis. In this case, the patient was about 95% covered in these red plaques. And so when the skin looks like this, this is also going on in the inside on the organs. The entire body is inflamed. This patient had tried just about every pharmaceutical drug on the market, as well as different diets, lifestyles, et cetera. The pain had become so unbearable, as well as the embarrassment of the skin, he had become a recluse. He was not willing to leave the house anymore. And by the time he presented to us, he communicated that he was feeling very suicidal. 3 weeks after the first injection, he had complete resolution of the plaques. So you can see here on the image that he sent us of his legs. And he has continued to get treatments and done very well with this therapy. That was one of the world's first cases for psoriasis, and we actually published that as the world's first in man. This is a patient who had a non-healing ulcer wound as a result of a skin cancer had been removed, and you can see here they had attempted several skin grafts, which did not take, and this wound was so severe that they were planning to amputate the leg. The patient presented to us and said that they would like to try doing the stem cells injections in and around the wound. And you can see that even though traditional medicine said the only answer was to amputate her leg, we were able to get complete resolution of that wound. It would have been a mistake to amputate, and it would have been life-ending for that patient had they amputated. She tells us that now she enjoys walks on the beach every single day. Just to give you an idea, this is the angiogram for that patient. So this is the before angiogram here on the left of your screen. You can see the lack of blood flow on this leg, which is showing on the left of your screen. This is the right leg. And then afterward, identical blood flow in the treated and the non-treated leg, really demonstrating that the stem cells help to open up all of the blood supply in the leg. And this is one of the things that's very unique about stem cells. It can help to stimulate what's referred to as angiogenesis, or formation of new blood vessels. Oftentimes, diseases, injuries have to do with a lack of blood flow. So the ability to stimulate additional blood supply to that area means more healing and more recovery from chronic wounds that would have otherwise been impossible to heal. This is a patient who had a meniscal tear. This patient was told that they had to have a surgery to repair and remove this tear. So what we're finding is that it's not necessarily a good idea to remove tissue. Instead, we can actually repair these tears so you don't have to get those partial meniscectomies anymore. Instead, repair the flap. Afterward, the orthopedic surgeon reported that with this probe, they could no longer separate or penetrate the meniscus. So by injecting the stem cells directly into the knee joint, into that knee space, we were able to completely repair that meniscus tear. So I think of this a little bit like if you were to get a tear on your eyelid, you would not remove your eyelid to keep your eyeball safe. You would want to repair this eyelid. So it's the same thing with that meniscus. The meniscus is a very important structure that helps to protect the two bones from rubbing. So removing that tissue, I think, may start to become an obsolete technique because we now have the ability to repair some of those tissues that get damaged. This is actually a non-healing bed sore ulcer wound at the bottom of the tailbone. This had persisted for multiple years, and they were not able to get this wound to heal. We injected in and around this wound, and you can see we have healing and resolution of that wound and sealing of the wound, forming that new tissue.
And what kind of time frame were you looking at?
This is about a 3-month time difference.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And remember, this wound had persisted for multiple years. They had attempted all sorts of debridements, wound treatments that were not successful.
Wow.
This is a patient who had something called Kaposi sarcoma, and the patient gets these growths all over the foot. They attempted radiation, chemotherapy, a variety of different drugs, and nothing worked. So we began dosing the patient with IV stem cells, and again, some of those growths began to disappear. So this was probably about a 4 to 5 month time difference from the time we started treatment. And the only difference was that we began using the stem cells to heal this patient. The concept is that your body has an amazing healing potential inside of it, and you can heal your body naturally without some of the side effects of pharmaceuticals or invasive surgeries, and your stem cells inside you can be responsible for that. We have the ability to bank your stem cells, which means we can isolate a small sample of fat tissue and store the stem cells so that they can be used for future dates and applied should you need them. The technology to heal exists inside you. You can harness this technology right now. The future of medicine is here. So I wanted to share with your viewers that approximately a year ago, I received notice from our attorneys in Washington that the United States of America, and in particular the Food and Drug Administration, had partnered with the Department of Justice, who are the lawyers that represent the Food and Drug Administration, and they had sent a draft lawsuit. So at the time that the government brought forward this draft lawsuit, they also offered what is referred to as consent decree. And what the consent decree said that is, if I agreed to stop helping patients achieve healing using their own stem cells and essentially stopped talking about this, that they would not file a lawsuit against me and against the clinics. If I didn't sign it, they would file this lawsuit against us, which read the United States of America versus the clinics, as well as me as an individual. And the reason that they would be filing that lawsuit is because they are saying that we don't have the appropriate drug approvals in place and that the stem cells inside your fat tissue are a drug. And as such, this is regulated by the government. The problem with this is that in order to go through the drug approval process, it requires a drug company to spend the necessary dollars to get it through that drug approval process. And in order for a company to want to put that through a drug approval process, they have to be able to bottle something and sell it. Because the stem cells exist inside you, and your stem cells are going to be very different than the next person's stem cells, it would be almost impossible to get this process through the drug approval process. So by labeling the stem cells inside your body as a drug, it essentially stops this field in its tracks. And it would be doing a disservice to patients, especially in America. What it would do is force patients who are interested in seeking alternative treatments using their own stem cells outside the country, because practitioners, physicians, are not regulated as a drug. They are regulated under the practice of medicine by the medical boards. And medical procedures are done all the time in clinic. So think of things like skin grafts or fat transfer, or when we take arteries from the leg to use inside the heart, for example, bypass surgery. These are not FDA approved. These are surgical procedures that are done by physicians in the office of the physicians, and they're regulated by the medical board. So I had a choice to either sign this consent decree and go away and be quiet, or be prepared to fight the federal government. And I never had a doubt in my mind what I had to do. I knew what I had to do, and I knew that was to fight for the rights of Americans to use their own body to heal. This case is bigger than me. This is more important than me. And I think that Americans have a right to use their body to heal, and that we need to stand up and tell our government that Americans want to have the ability to use their own body. So I did not sign the consent decree, and I get sued personally by the United States of America. The lawsuit is currently ongoing. As you can imagine, it's very challenging to fight the United States of America, especially the attorneys representing the United States of America are the Department of Justice, and they have the ability to utilize taxpayer dollars to ensure that they have the appropriate legal defense. And I have to defend myself using my own dollars. So it makes for an interesting challenge, to say the least. I oftentimes feel like I have to fight a fight with my hands tied behind my back. And for me, I think it's actually very simple. This is about health freedom. This is about being able to make an informed consent decision with your practitioner to use your own body to heal. And this is not something that Big Pharma should stand in the way of. And we should not be putting profits over people. And I think that we all have to have a voice and stand up right now and tell the United States of America that we want to use our own body to heal. So I will continue to fight. Is actually set for June. And at that time, the judge will make a decision with regards to the information that is presented as to whether or not these stem cells that are inside your body are a drug. So a couple things that we've done is that we've set up a nonprofit organization called My Cells, My Choice. The website is mycellsmychoice.org. This is somewhere where individuals can go to get more information about the cells inside their body. And also what we are doing is providing patient treatments to those who cannot afford it, in particular first responders, veterans, or really anyone who is in need of regenerative medicine but struggling to afford the procedures. So please check out that website. It's mycellsmychoice.org. And then the last thing I'd like to share, I'll just pop right back into my slide, is my information contact. Your viewers are certainly welcome to follow me on Facebook as well as Instagram, or send a note. So I would like to encourage everyone to just send me a little note on Facebook that says, keep fighting. The encouragement means more than you know. And I have an open Facebook page as well as Instagram, so they can go on there and place any notes that they like.
I want everybody to be aware that Kristen has also offered a very generous gift that's included in our summit package for those of you that decide to purchase it. Why don't you introduce that, Kristen?
Yep. So a couple things. One, we will do free consults for anyone who's interested to learn more about regenerative medicine or stem cells. So they can call the office or send a note to schedule a free consult, even if it's just questions about regenerative medicine, et cetera. And then also for anyone interested in pursuing a regenerative medicine treatment, we are offering $500 gift card towards that treatment,
which is tremendously generous. And just by way of personal disclosure, I traveled, and well, you're seeing as part of this this presentation some footage of a treatment that I received at US Stem Cell. So I have had years of struggle with autoimmune condition and multiple conditions, and I wear the hat so that the green screen doesn't make green around my head, but I often don't wear a hat. But I have a condition that's labeled alopecia and a bunch of other things. And when I spoke with Kristen, she said that this is a solution that, or an opportunity to reverse those symptoms by enhancing my autoimmune system. And I was very excited and delighted to have the opportunity, and I'm very grateful to you, Kristen, for providing me that opportunity. I think it's going to be life-changing. So I, given that I am, this struggle for wellness is very close to my heart, I had to share you with the world, because what you're doing is revolutionary, and the courage that you have in facing what you're facing is remarkable, and I just want to laud you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. You know, on the day that we found out that the government was interested in kind of coming after us and coming after me personally, I was in the backyard at home, and I'm married, and I have two children, teenagers. And I was crying, and my husband came out, and I explained what was going on, and he said, you know, first of all, we'll get everything we can fit in the car, and we'll just get out of here. But I wasn't sure where we would go, because it felt like maybe we had to get a boat to get out of where we were. But then I kind of looked up at him, and I said, you know what I have to do. And he said, I know what you have to do. So like I said, it was never a doubt in my mind that this is bigger than me. And I have to have the voice for all of the patients who don't have the voice. And this is going to change medicine as we know it. This is big. And I think this is how we know we're onto something, is when people start noticing.
This is about sustainable medicine. It's from our own bodies. And I just want to talk about the nuances of the case, because I did some research about it. Mm-hmm. And what I understood, and perhaps I understood wrongly, but it was the way it was presented, is that there's a procedure that happens that is documented in our video footage of my session, mm-hmm. where the fat is spun down to extract the stem cells. Mm-hmm. And the what I understood from the case was that there was some kind of emulsifying agent that was used to make that separation, and it was based on that the FDA was able to go after you. So can you clarify all that for us?
So this is actually something that was started by a blogger, this concept that it was the enzyme that we use to break down the fat tissue that is the problem, and that's actually not true. In all of the court paper documents, that is not the emphasis of the case. They are saying that regardless of how you process fat tissue, the cells that exist inside your fat would be classified as a drug. So even if you did not use this enzyme to digest, that would not solve the issue, because we had actually come back with that saying, well, use enzyme, would this then be okay? And the government said, no, it would still be classified as a drug. And what the enzyme does, just to kind of clarify, is that it helps to break down collagen bonds. Collagen bonds exist in the extracellular matrix, which means that the space that's outside of the stem cells. And the reason that this is useful is because it makes it easier to separate the cells based on their density. So we spin the cells in a centrifuge, and then we can create layers based on the density of the cells. So for example, the heaviest cells would be your red blood cells because they have iron. And then the stem cells would be above that. And then the fat cells would be your lightest cell. So when we asked about not doing the enzyme and just centrifuging, they said no, that they would still classify it as a drug. The reason that we thought that might be useful is because they have not yet gone after bone marrow protocols or protocols using bone marrow to isolate stem cells. And the main difference is that bone marrow is just doing centrifugation. They're not doing any of this enzyme treatment. And so that's why we immediately brought that forward as an option, but it was shot down. They said it would still be classified as a drug and that it was not the centrifuging or the enzyme or any other. It was just simply that they deem fat tissue and specifically the stem cells from fat tissue as a drug. And they're not viewing bone marrow in the same classification because bone marrow protocols actually predate what are called the device laws that came into play in the late 70s. So anything that predates those laws is able to undergo what's called a 510K equivalency. So bone marrow protocols are not going through double-blind placebo-controlled trials in the same way that drug approval would. They're kind of grandfathered in under this 510K process. They are not allowing fat to get grandfathered in the same way because there were no protocols for fat. Now, isolating stem cells from fat is actually a superior method for two reasons. One, you can get more stem cells from fat than from bone marrow. And two, you don't get as many white blood cells from the fat as you do from bone marrow. So this is why it's our preference to use the fat tissue. And the government is just claiming jurisdiction over this because there was no predated bone marrow separation protocol. So when other practitioners are using bone marrow and saying that they are FDA approved, it's not that they're FDA approved. It's that they're 510K cleared, which means they got grandfathered in.
Gotcha. So let's just talk about stem cell therapy because a lot of people have really extreme misconceptions about what it is. Because when we were first introduced to it, it was through fetal stem cells originally. So I think people might still have the association with abortion and stem cells. So let's talk about the evolution of all of that.
Sure. So really the big pharma kind of method for regenerative medicine and stem cell treatment is more the embryonic stem cell. So the reason is that this is something that can be isolated prior to a fetus becoming a fetus. So this is when the egg and the sperm come together, you form what's called gestation, and you start to get a cluster of cells. This cluster of cells is called an inner cell mass. Those cells can be isolated and then grown in a petri dish. Of course, when you isolate that, and the reason that this is controversial, it's no longer able to develop into a baby. And so you take those cells and you grow them. Those are called embryonic stem cells. These would not be your own cells, they would be somebody else's cells, and they could be mass produced. So they could be kind of vialed and sold off the shelf. So it's certainly the model that pharmaceutical companies would be more interested in because they can mass produce and sell to more customers. Our situation is that we are using what are called adult stem cells and more specifically autologous adult stem cells, so your own. We are using your own cells as opposed to someone else's, which are referred to as allogeneic, somebody else's allo. So from a kind of individual perspective, I certainly would rather use my own cells than somebody else's. And I certainly would like to remove any of the ethical conversation associated with it. And why not use my own cells when I can? Why would I go to other extremes of using somebody else's cells? I would reserve that for times when there would be no other choice. And regardless of your age, if you're in your 90s or beyond, you've got stem cells inside your body hard at work. So you can harness these cells and use them. Oftentimes I'll hear people say, oh, but I'm old, So how could my stem cells be good? I would rather use somebody's young stem cells. And this is actually the wrong way to look at it, because when you inject stem cells into the body, what it's stimulating is your own healing cascade. So you are always limited by your current age. Injecting younger cells does not make your own cells turn younger. You're going to be limited by your own cells that begin that healing cascade. So using younger cells is not going to make your response better. In fact, there's some indication that using somebody else's cells in your body will not respond as well as using your own. There was a comparison study done in a cardiac indication, and the autologous cells outperformed the allogeneic cells. And the patients that were looked at were heart disease patients in their 60s. So these were not necessarily young patients, and they certainly were not well patients. And they still did better by using their own cells. So that would be my preference all day long. The other thing that I get concerned about when I think about using somebody else's cells is disease transmission. So when we start thinking about using somebody else's samples, blood, or any sort of cell tissue sample, we refer to those as disease screened. And what we mean is they are disease screened for every disease that we currently know about. But every decade, we discover new viruses. And viruses are tricky little bugs. They're constantly changing. And I think many of us that are watching this right now are old enough to remember when we began screening for HIV. So again, I would be reluctant to use somebody else's cells in my body.
And I've heard of people banking umbilical blood as well for stem cell purposes. So how about that? Talk to that too.
So when you are having a baby, you can actually choose to bank or store the cord blood or maybe some of the birth tissue. The challenge is that right now, those tissue banks are operating under the 1271 tissue bank laws. So it's okay to store that tissue. But in most cases, when you want to use that tissue, you are not able to use it here in the United States. There are very few approved indications or uses. There's one trial or so at Duke University. But other than that, it would be a challenge. So for those banked, if you don't believe me, call up the facility that banked the cells and ask them if you can get a sample for your child. You won't be able to. So unfortunately, even though we have the technology to bank some of those cells, we're not necessarily able to use those at this point. And they're not isolating the stem cells. They are just storing the whole tissue. So when I had my children, I actually did not choose to bank the cord blood. Instead, what I did was allow the cord to continue to pulse so that all those cells went into the baby right at that moment. And I figured if I need stem cells for my children, we would actually do an isolation right at the time that we need it to get the freshest cells from the fat. Just so everyone knows, I've actually already done a stem cell treatment on my son. My son was suffering from very severe cystic acne, and we did IV delivery of the cells, and his acne did clear up.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. How about for, you talked about the stem cell therapy for a bunch of different ailments. The obvious question is, what about cancer?
So this is something that we kind of address on a case-by-case basis. We've done a handful of cancer patients. Oftentimes the patients that are presenting to us are more end stage. They've failed a lot of other treatments. What they're trying now is to recover from some of the treatments that they've received, whether it be chemo, radiation, et cetera. And typically what we would do was an IV delivery of the cells. When you have cancer, your body immune system has gone a bit haywire. So when we do something called a bone marrow transplant, this is actually considered a standard of care for many cancer treatments. And this is a stem cell treatment. So we've actually been addressing cancer with stem cell treatments, at large, the medical community at large, not we personally. Addressing cancer with stem cell treatments for a long time. So there's quite a bit of knowledge there with regards to using these bone marrow transplants in cancer. The concept is that the mesenchymal cells that can be present both in the bone marrow as well as the fat tissue are the precursor to hematopoietic cells. Hematopoietic cells are responsible for creating all of your blood lineage cells, in particular something called a natural killer cell. And a natural killer cell is responsible for going and killing, natural killer cell, all of the cancer cells. So the ability to and stimulate more circulation of natural killer cells could be really beneficial in the fight against cancer.
And you said that fat is a much better source of stem cells than bone marrow.
We can get about 500 times more stem cells from fat tissue than what we can get from bone marrow. This is great, especially because it's very easy to take the fat. It's certainly less painful because you don't have to tap the bone. Remember that you can't anesthetize the bone, so it does tend to be a rather painful procedure getting a bone marrow tap. And the other challenge with tapping the bone marrow is it's very depleting on the system. So when you remove that marrow, the body has to work very hard to replenish that. But when you remove a small sample of fat tissue, it's kind of a non-event for the system as a whole. It doesn't necessarily disrupt your endocrine system. It doesn't disrupt your whole recovery. I would say the most challenging part of getting the fat removed is soreness. You're going to feel very tender.
I'll attest to that. I also wanted to ask about rejection. You said if you're using somebody else's cells, there's a greater chance of rejection. If you're using your own cells, is it possible that you might reject them?
As with any medical procedure, there are certainly risks associated with it and unknown that could occur. The other thing to keep in mind is that when you are using your own cells in your body, you don't have any of the HLA mismatches. These are the proteins that would be present on the surface of the cell. So if you were to use somebody else's cells, you have that risk of rejection. But with your own cells, they're going to be an exact match because they're your own. So you don't have that risk of developing graft versus host disease. The other thing to keep in mind with regards to unknown risks is there could be interaction with any medication that you are taking. These cells are naturally anti-inflammatory, so they will bring down any sort of inflammation, but they also can stimulate a healing cascade. So if you are taking medications that may be manipulating the immune system, it's just something to keep in mind when using these. So like any medical procedure or any pharmaceutical product that you may be interested in trying, there's going to be risks associated with it. But in thousands of cases, the adverse events are very low. To date, we've treated more than 12,000 patients, and our safety profile is strong.
I also wanted to ask, for instance, for something like lung treatment, you said you've worked with lung, you've worked with brain, you've worked with heart, and also with joints. With the joints, I know you inject directly into the joint, and you were showing the wounds that you inject around. What do you do for heart and lung and brain, for example?
So for anything that's systemic organ-based, heart, lung, kidney, we would do an IV delivery, meaning that we inject directly into the vein, into the arm, and this is just a bolus push. So in the same way that you would get blood drawn, except for it's the opposite direction, it goes in. These cells will take a first pass through the heart and lungs, and then they tend to circulate to areas of injury. We don't get to choose necessarily where those cells will go. So a patient may come in thinking that they've got an injury on their toe that they'd like to address, and we place the cells IV, but the body may say, you know what, your lungs need a little bit more help than what you thought needed help. So the body may place those cells where they're needed. And there's actually some really nice tracking studies that have been done, kind of preclinical studies, animal studies, demonstrating that these cells will naturally home to areas of injury. With regards to the brain, what we do is referred to as an intrathecal injection with a TH, and we inject the cells into the lower portion of the back into the cerebrospinal fluid. This allows the cells to circulate up across the blood-brain barrier, so it's the best access to the brain. So addressing Parkinson's, ALS, MS, spinal cord injuries, traumatic brain injuries, this allows the cells to get to where we need them into the brain if there's some inflammation or plaques.
So some people have the misperception that stem cell therapy, receiving stem cell therapy, is illegal. Actually, a friend of mine, when I've spoken to her, she says, but it's not legal. So can we address that?
When I hear someone say that stem cells are illegal, there's really two things that come into my mind. One, are they referring to embryonic stem cells? And possibly they heard something in the media about when President Bush was talking about embryonic stem cells. And what President Bush said was that we were not going to provide government funding for embryonic stem cell research. But that had nothing to do with the legality of it. It was just government funding for that research. And actually, when Obama came into presidency, he then opened up the government funding, which means the NIH funding, for embryonic research as well. And if you're going...
I just want to interrupt because earlier I said fetal tissue, mm-hmm. and that was a big misperception that I think was perpetrated widely. Mm-hmm. And it was never it was never fetal tissue, it was embryonic stem cells, and there's a distinction there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really big misconception that we just want to clear up to begin with, but please continue.
Yep. So again, embryonic stem cells in the United States are not illegal. You just have to go through the appropriate drug approval processes before those could be utilized. There are not currently any approved usages of embryonic stem cell research or of stem cells for, clinical application. There are a few approved clinical trials using embryonic stem cells, but these are being done by pharmaceutical companies. So this is very different than the in-clinic procedures using your own stem cells. So the other thing that people could be referring to is the fact that the government has brought lawsuit against us seeking an injunction, which means they are seeking for us to stop doing it. But the courts have not awarded that yet. It has to be awarded by the courts. So until a court says one way or the other, we are permitted to do these procedures as medical procedures because it's the practice of medicine and it is not something that should be regulated as a drug. So that's what we're fighting for. So I think it would be wrong for somebody to say that stem cells are illegal, regardless of which category they were referring to. The other thing to keep in mind is there's a difference between embryonic stem cells and fetal tissue products. So fetal tissue products are often taken from birth tissue. In other words, the baby is born, everything is normal, the baby goes home with the family, but the birth tissue products can be collected, meaning the cord blood or the placenta, and you can isolate different growth factors from that tissue for use in others. These are adult stem cell products. They are not embryonic stem cells, and it has nothing to do with aborted tissue.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that clarification. I also wanted to ask about banking stem cells. So you said you can bank your stem cells. How will that work for folks that have banked their stem cells, depending upon the results from the trial, mm-hmm. what will happen to banked stem cells?
So the trial right now is with regards to the in-clinic use of the fat when removed and immediately applied back. It has nothing to do with the tissue bank. The tissue bank is regulated under the 1271s. So this case has nothing to do with those banked cells. They're completely separate. I suppose we could play like a worst case scenario. What if after this lawsuit, the government decided they didn't want to allow people to bank their cells anymore? This is going to be a little bit more of a challenge for the government because there's already a lot of laws in place with regards to banking cord blood, storing your baby's products when you are having a baby. But you can always bank those cells. You may just be required to leave the country to utilize those cells. So I suppose in the worst case scenario, you could buy a boat and travel a few miles offshore so that you're outside the country to utilize your own cells. I think we have to keep fighting for our rights to use our cells and make sure the government knows that they don't own our cells. We own our cells.
And the thing that is most relevant, I think, from all of this is that our bodies are healing ourselves in ways that our medicine has not yet been able to achieve.
The healing cascades are so complex, and it's not necessarily just one mechanism of action. It's not just one cytokine or one growth factor. And I think this is sometimes what we do when we do pharmaceuticals. We try to simplify it and make it about, upregulating or downregulating one signal, one cytokine, one whatever. And that's not how healing works inside our body. And the benefit to using your own stem cells is that this can bring together the full mechanism of action. action that we've yet to understand. It's a very, very complex interaction within the body and complex talking of the cells inside our body. And it would be a mistake to try to wait until we completely understand that full mechanism of action. Patients don't have the luxury of time. Let's just tap into that technology that exists right now.
And that goes back to why it's important to have multiple treatments potentially, because when you're doing it systemically, you don't have the option of saying this is going to address this particular issue, right? So we want to create a resilience in the whole system.
Right. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. So is there anything else that we should discuss to make people aware of regarding stem cells and their opportunity? They can get in touch with US Stem Cell. They can reach out to you through your social media, and they can call the clinic. And what else? They can name your site again.
Yeah, mycellsmychoice.org, which is a nonprofit. So sign up for the mailing list to get more information about the case as it progresses, as well as how to preserve your rights for keeping ownership and control of your own cells.
Well, Kristen, I am awed by your courage, and I am so grateful to you for what you're doing. And I'm hoping that the folks that are listening to this see an opportunity for healing when they thought they had no options, and that we can all stand together to create a medical option that is truly regenerative.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Keep the momentum going by checking out all the other experts. Every one of them has invaluable information that you can't afford to miss. Buy the Premium Summit Package now. Join the global conversation in our Facebook group and take action in your home, community, or the world at large. Together, we will shape a world that works. The Sustainability Now Telesummit is honored to share audacious ideas and innovative solutions from more than 30 experts from around the globe. Learn how we can work together to shape a world that works. Here's your host, Mira Rubin.